Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. In mid-February, the Alaska Bilingual Bicultural Advisory Council and the Alaska Department of Education held the 7th Annual Bilingual Multicultural Education Conference in Anchorage. Described by its planners as a grassroots effort, the conference had a high percentage of Native organizers and participants. The keynote speaker was Willie Hensley, president of NANA Development Corporation, and Hensley is such a well-known leader he hardly needs any introduction except to say that the following speech is unedited and comes to us through the courtesy of the Alaska Public Radio Network.
Thank you very much. Inupiat, Yupit, Nalaumit, Supayat Inuit, Paralipsi. I would like to thank the advisory Council for inviting me to speak, and I would like to also give a special recognition to the bilingual aides and the materials developers, because you're out there on the front line, so to speak. And I would also like to note the presence of many young students who are in the audience, which I think is important. And in my speech today, I hope I don't make anybody mad, because I'm going to bring up some things that most people don't like to talk about. And I think the sooner we get them behind us, out in the open and behind us, the better off we're going to be, all of us. Are there any school administrators in the audience or superintendents? Stand up if you're there. Okay, now there they are, attack them. They're the problem. Actually, I wouldn't have their job for anything, you know, because the superintendents are having to tend to problems that in many cases are not their own creation. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're attempting to manage a school in the city or in the village, you have to contend with all the social problems that surround our society, which makes it a very difficult place to work. I think that many people do not understand the amount of stress and, in fact, repression that our Native people in Alaska have been under for many years. It is something that I think we have borne rather quietly. But I think the damage is being done, has been done, and is ongoing. Not only have the Native people have had to survive the brutality and outright enslavement by the Russians, we've had to survive the taking of the whales by the tens of thousands beginning in the 1850s. The walrus were close to decimation when over 100,000 were taken after the whales began to disappear, as were the sea otter and the salmon. And after 200 years of Western civilization, we are just now reaching the population level we had when the Russians first came here. The Aleuts were virtually close to extinction. Beginning in 1848, with a major outbreak of smallpox coming out of British Columbia, down to the present century with epidemics of influenza, diphtheria, tuberculosis, our people have been well on the way to extinction, as well as through starvation, when our food source had been shot up. The tragedy has been that the educational system, which we have inherited from the turn of the century, has also had as its basic objective the elimination of the Eskimo, the Indian, and the Aleut people as an identity, as a distinct species of the human race with their own spirit, their own language, tradition, history, and culture. In the bureaucracies of the 19th century, the educational system designed by Sheldon Jackson was, quote, to fit them for the social and industrial life of the white population of the United States and promote their not too distant assimilation, unquote. This principle has been the guiding light for Alaskan educators practically down to the present day. Let's put it this way, perhaps not so much the educators as the system. Joining in the effort has been the ardent religious missionary spirit, which saw eye to eye with the government in this endeavor and brought a zeal for cultural dissipation affecting tribal languages, religions, dance, and art. The concentration of recreating the image of a Western man in the heart and mind of the native people of Alaska has had the effect of creating stress, disintegration, and disconnection of human ties that bound our society together. The policy of repressing the native languages in the school system has had the effect of repressing the ancient spirit of the people that enabled us to survive over many thousands of years. The values that have been beat into our people were in direct contrast to the very values that enabled us to survive. In the place of common effort, individuality is made sacred. In the place of cooperation, competition is fostered. In the place of sharing, acquisitiveness in life is pummeled into our minds through the media. It is no wonder that there are so-called native problems. To make it clear that this is a human problem we all face as Alaskans and as Americans, let me reiterate, all Americans came from somewhere else other than the Aborigines. That is, the teeming millions from around the globe came to enjoy a new life on land wrested from the Indians. These people came from ancient cultures with their own spirit, their own language, their own tradition, and their own history. This they sacrificed when they chose to become a citizen of America. A new name, a new identity, a new language, a new set of values. The result? An improvement in material well-being, perhaps. The price? A discontinuity of spirit. The disconnection of human obligations and responsibilities that now reflects itself in social problems such as suicide, depression, alcoholism and drug abuse, and human violence. What I'm saying is that in a tribal nature, you have human obligations and responsibilities. That is, you are not alone in the world. All this because of the dissipation in our human concern for each other. What has this got to do with the conference? With such a bleak review of the situation, is there any hope? Well, I believe there is. With respect to the functioning of our rural schools, I believe that there has to be complete change in emphasis. Instead of the continued effort to disengage the Eskimo, Indian, or Aleut student from his heritage or her heritage, their tribal identity and spirit, their language that expresses that spirit, this identity should be reinforced. His pride in himself and its potential should be unleashed by ensuring that as complete a knowledge of his people is conveyed in the system. How can we maintain who we are in 20 minutes a day? But I also believe that the responsibility is not necessarily the schools. This will require a community participation of an extraordinary kind, because in reality, the responsibility for conveying a sense of our people's spirit and the language that expresses it, our traditions, our history, and our values is our responsibility. That will require a will to survive as a people. In this instance, we will free the Western teacher to do the best job possible of helping the student to learn the mechanics of analysis and knowledge of various subjects. This school should not be used as a mechanism for the destruction of human ties that a person needs to handle the stresses and strains of modern life. I will suggest that a look inward is required of all of our people, because the answer to our survival is not in the outer world. No amount of government spending on facilities or media is going to save our children. The only way that I can see to create an energy that will lead us to the promised land of self-acceptance and economic security is to go in the direction, in two directions at once. We have to implant the tribal spirit, language, and identity in our young people, and we should create an ethic that will be use our ancient values of group survival in a modern context. In other words, we have to be the best possible Inupiat or Itqiliq or Aleut, and the most competent thinker and doer that ever hit Alaska. If that's not enough to keep everybody busy, then I can't help you. Thank you.
You just heard Willie Hensley's entire speech to the Bilingual Multicultural Education Conference held last February in Anchorage. I'm Paula Schiller, and this is Chinook, a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaska Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Profiles. I'm Paula Schiller. As most of you know, the Festival of Native Arts, held every year on the University of Alaska campus, is a week-long event organized by the Native students here. Well, for the first time, we present a program that is recorded by Native students. Jack Abraham, a journalism major, will be your host for the rest of the program, and we'll hear later from John Oscar, who volunteered to help us out. Jack?
The festival began on Monday evening, March 16th, with a tribute to North Slope Borough Mayor, the late Eben Hobson. Jimmy Evac, a university student from Barrow, made the opening dedication.
Eben Hobson, an international figure, left behind a wife and 12 children, along with a brilliant political career and civic accomplishments. Among his acquaintances, he was renowned as a political artist, as a fighter whose perseverance, even in the faces of overwhelming odds, gave them a position of power, and as a skilled negotiator who brought sides to an agreement. Hobson is credited for his achievements in the Alaska Federation of Natives, the Alaska Claim Settlement Act, the founding of the North Slope Borough, and the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. During his last 3 years, Hobson showed Alaska some rare political craftsmanship as he tried to balance oncoming industry, conservationists, and the security of the northern Alaskan culture before the onslaught of large-scale industrial development on the Arctic coast. Hobson worked diligently for all Inuit and the other cultural groups of Alaska. In recognition of Mr. Hobson's accomplishments, we, the Festival of Native Arts Committee, dedicate the 1981 8th Annual Activities to him. We, the committee, hope you enjoy the performances as much as the performers do in performing. Kuyang.
Al Grant, Master of Ceremonies from Tanana, introduced the evening's first performers, a student group from Holy Cross.
Holy Cross is on the lower Yukon River, and it's sort of the dividing line between the Yupik people to the south and the Athabascans to the north. So the Holy Cross dancers have some Eskimo dances, some Indian dances, and even some Malamute dances. Before each dance or song, I'll do my best to tell a little bit about what it means. Please welcome the Holy Cross dancers and drummers.
Matt Weaver, who introduced the performers from Holy Cross, is the principal of the school of that village. I talked to him just before their performance.
Way back in the fall, we started planning this.
Yeah.
And I've just sort of been helping them along. Uh-huh. We make time for dance practices and use the school for practice. We organize lots of things with the community to raise money to come here.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've kind of been planning for all year long.
Can you tell me what you've learned or gained from the festival?
Well, I think the main thing is I got to see some aspects of different cultures that I'd never been exposed to before, and you know, that I'd only seen on television. And I think that's the main thing I gained, was just a taste of other cultures and what they were like. Yeah.
If anything, do you see anything wrong with it?
No, I know that some people do. Some people say that, oh, it's just performing for white people. I've heard that comment, but I think it's great because, well, like from the aspect of our own dancers from Holy Cross, they get to see dancers from all over the state come and perform. They get to see other cultures just the same way I did when I first came.
Uh-huh.
So it's a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah, it is for me too. Do you have any other comments you wanna talk about?
Well, I'll just say that it's great to be here, and all the kids are really looking forward to this, and especially to Monday night when we get to dance.
The opening song is a song, it's not really a dance. It's about a man, he's standing on a bank, and he's looking for something. And there's a lot of smoke, and it's coming around the bend, and it's a steamboat.
Drums can sound pretty loud. I learned from the two elders who lead the Holy Cross student dancers that they used plastic this year for the drums because they could not find the right kind of gut or caribou hides, which are traditionally used. While the main events of the festival were the evening performances, there were also craft demonstrations at the Wood Center on campus. I went there and found some students from Kodiak Island building a half-sized version of a kayak. Dave Kubiak, the Aleutic Studies teacher, told me a little about the class projects.
We're building kayaks in Kodiak, and we're doing it in to try to encourage Kodiak young people to value the things that their ancestors did. And we're building out of Kodiak spruce, Sitka spruce. We're using alders in the past, and we're going to try oak, which is a non-traditional, obviously non-traditional wood, for ribs.
What do you use for the outside? What sort of skins do you use, or if you use skins at all?
Yeah, well, I can't harvest skins, so I can't use skins. I couldn't use a raw skin, if I understand the law right. So we've been using what a lot of apparently people up in Bristol Bay, up at Hooper Bay, use canvas and aircraft dope on their kayaks, and we've been using that. But we still, you know, I think we've still retained the idea of a wood framework, a handmade wood framework with a sewn skin covering, because we do sew the canvas on before we put a waterproof.
I also talked to one of the students from Kodiak. You're on.
Okay, my name is Terry Poulos, and I'm learning, well, I haven't quite learned how to build the full kayak yet, but I'm learning. And so, but mine's about halfway done, or in the process of getting halfway done. And I hope to have it done by this summer, you know, so I could take it out.
What do you feel, or what do you kind of experience do you feel from building a kayak like this, or?
It's kind of like a personal achievement, you know, like when you think you've done something really good, when you put all your work into something, you really feel good about it, you know, because I put a lot of work into mine, and I just, you know, I have a lot of work to do on it, but I, you know, I'm putting a lot of work into it, so I hope it comes out the way I want it.
So it kind of gives you an idea of what our ancestors were going through just to build these things.
And that's what I'm really getting into that right now. Yeah. The class is really good.
The students from Kodiak finished their kayak by the last day of the festival and displayed it like a piece of sculpture. The kayak will hang in the museum in Kodiak. Another group of students were featured performers at the festival. Teresa John, who is a dancer herself, introduced the University of Alaska UPIC student dancers.
And we're going to sing several songs, and I hope you enjoy them all.
At the evening performances, John Oscar from the festival committee volunteered to be a roving reporter. He asked people how they felt about being at the festival.
Oh, I like the things they're selling out here, and the dances in there are really nice, and I really enjoy watching the dancers.
What have you learned about the different ways that people display?
Well, the Indian beadworks are really pretty, and the Eskimo masks are really nice too. They all are beautiful.
Oh, it's really good for me. It's just, it leads to my culture where I got to think about it, and it's just fantastic.
In other words, cultural pride.
Yes, that's right. You got to be proud of it. If you go downstairs, you can't see it. You come up here, it's great. And then that's how I like living up here. It's my culture, and I love it.
It's festive. It's festive, very festive.
What have you learned about different cultures?
It's different cultures. Some have beads, some don't have beads. Some have furs.
Oh, well, it's nice to see and to show everything just good to be part of everybody sharing and where you come from, I guess.
Do you think that it will give cultural pride to the younger generation in the future?
Well, if they just take the time enough to watch it and experience it, sure.
I sure hope so. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the students to express themselves and to invite people from their hometown to share with everybody here the cultures.
Yes, it will benefit the younger generations in the future, in other words.
Oh, you can just see it in them out there. I'm wondering what's going to happen 5 years from now when they remember being here in Fairbanks and the importance of, you know, keeping alive the culture.
Well, I think it's really wonderful, but I see a lot of younger kids, but I hardly see any younger guys. One of the kids I'd say from Fort Yukon is a student last year in this Tahita or whatever it is. He was dancing, and I was really proud to see a guy his age out there dancing for their culture. And I'm really proud of them.
Now we'll go back to the stage where the Fort Yukon community dancers are about to perform for the first time at the festival. Their leader is Catherine Peter, and John Alexander introduced the songs.
The first song we're going to perform tonight is on the subject of the World War II, when all the boys were being drafted back in 1944. Susan Peter from Arctic Village wrote this song, and Catherine Peter, Susan Peter sang this song. Catherine Peter, the equipment instructor, wrote it. This is how it goes.
Well, that's just a sample of things that go on during the whole week of the Festival of Native Arts. I hope you've enjoyed it. My name is Jack Abraham.
Thank you, Jack. This program was recorded by Jack Abraham and John Oscar. Jack and I wrote the script. I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.